Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. I saw a church marquee yesterday that read, "God is the great I am, not the great I was." Many people see God and religion in general today as old and outdated. Old, surely. Outdated, hardly. If you're looking for entertainment, recreation, and other activities, you may say it's outdated. But if you're looking for the hope of eternal life, it's as refreshing and relevant today as it was during the time of Christ and the apostles and the sojourn on the earth. Caveat. What does caveat mean? Caveat in Latin means let him beware. The English retain caveat itself as a noun for something that serves to warn, explain, or caution. So my caveat for today is I have intentionally used several passages more than once in different contexts of my lesson when I felt they illustrated my intended point. Thank you for being here. It's good to see you all. I've prepared another word study sermon taken from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let's search the scriptures together this morning. We begin with 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12, and we will be focusing on verses 11 and 12. It reads, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therefore be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God," speaking to Timothy, "flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Paul told Timothy to follow after righteousness. In Matthew 5, 6, it says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." We are all well acquainted with being hungry and thirsty. That's one of the first things we learn as infants. Feed me, change me, fix me a bottle. As we grow, we are able to feed ourselves. But hunger and thirst after righteousness, that is different. Just as food and drink helps us to grow, develop, and mature, does not hungering and thirsting after righteousness do the same thing for us spiritually? Let's look at Hebrews 5:13. "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. As humans, we must move past baby food and start eating solid food, and the same is true spiritually. We must grow past the first principles of the gospel of Christ." 1 Corinthians 3, 1 and 2 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able." Paul told those at Corinth that they were unable to be fed with meat as they were still carnal. And the Hebrew writer states in Hebrews 5, 12, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." So we have to go past the need of milk and the first principles and grow spiritually to be pleasing to God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." So spiritual growth must be our priority to be pleasing to God. 2 Peter 3:18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Consider Matthew 5:20. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven." Paul told Timothy to follow after godliness. In 1 Timothy 3:16, he said, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." That's a great six-point sermon right there. manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up in glory. That pretty much covers the biggest part of Christ's ministry. Paul told Timothy to refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness in 1 Timothy 4:7. And continuing in verse 8, he said, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." I was always amused by the verse that says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little." I used to try that on Judy all the time. And then the kids would say, "But Dad, the Bible says much study is the weariness of the flesh." I said, "You talk that over with your teacher. I'm not getting into that one." Titus 1:1-2 reads, "Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began." And 2 Peter 1:1-4, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby they are given exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Timothy was told to follow after faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The key word there is diligently. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Romans 1:17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." And Romans 5:1-2, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Galatians 3:11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." In Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And Hebrews 12:2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Timothy was told to follow after love. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Matthew 22:35-4, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." In Romans 5:8 it says, "But God commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" Romans 13:10, "Love works no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." In Galatians 5:22-23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. Philippians 1:9-11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things which are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Philippians 2:1-2 says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye, being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. 2 Thessalonians 3:4-5, and we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that you both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. 1 Peter 1:3-8, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Excuse me. Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried by fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul told Timothy to follow after patience. Romans 5:1-3 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Have you ever considered that tribulation worketh patience? Think about that. Write that down and meditate on it. Tribulation works patience. Romans 8:24-25, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, yet what doth he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Hebrews 12:1, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. James 5:11, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Ah, the patience of Job. There's a wealth of study material on that topic. 2 Peter 1:1-9, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nation, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Paul told Timothy to follow after meekness. 2 Corinthians 10:1. Now I, Paul, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. And Galatians 5:22-25 that we read earlier, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Ephesians 4:1-3. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Colossians 3:1-17. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also ye do. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule into your hearts, to the which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. James 1:21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 3:14-17, but and if ye suffer for righteous sake, happy are you, and be not afraid of their terror, and be not troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. Titus 3:1-2, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Timothy was told to fight the good fight of faith. In 1 Timothy 1:8, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them might war a good warfare. In 1 Corinthians 9:24-27, know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to unto them that love his appearing. He was told to lay hold on eternal life. Is that the hope of every Christian, to lay hold on eternal life? I think it should be. Matthew 19:16 said, and behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? That question has been pondered throughout the ages of men. Many are still asking that question today, and most are looking for the answer through the wisdom of men. But in searching for something, if you're looking in the wrong places, you will never find that which you diligently seek. John 3:16 again says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And John 6 says, And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Romans 6 starts in 16, Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things where you have now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Being now made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and to the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Eternal life is what? It is the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you're looking for eternal life, you must look in God's Word. As it plainly says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That seems to me to be pretty simple. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 1, For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought for us the selfsame thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. In Titus 1:1-2, as we noted earlier, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God promised eternal life before the world began? Think about that. Write that down and meditate on that. God promised eternal life before the world began. Hebrews 5:8-9, Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. And Hebrews 12:2 again, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Hebrews 9:12, Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Hebrews 9:15, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of life eternal." 1 John 1:1-4, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." 1 John 5, beginning in verse 1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcomes the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And this is the Spirit that bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he has testified unto his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the Son of God." 1 Timothy 6, "But thou, O man, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou was also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses." My hope is that some of these passages that we have heard today will give you food for thought, and that you might further study the words of 1 Timothy 6:11-12 and the related passages. Remember the words in 2 Timothy 2:15, "We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And 2 Timothy 3:16-17, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." And remember what we mentioned previously in 1 Peter 3, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Thank you for your time this morning. I appreciate it. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel and become a Christian today, you must hear the word of God, Romans 10:17. You must believe, Hebrews 11:16. You must repent, Luke 13:3. You must confess, Romans 10:10. You must be baptized, Mark 16:16 and Romans 6:4. You must live right, Titus 2:12 and Revelation 2:10. If you've already obeyed the gospel, Romans 10:16, and you have sinned and need us to pray with you and for you, please come and let your needs be known as we stand and sing the song of invitation that has been selected to encourage you.